Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft.
Welcome to Serotalk. Podcast 23, this is Michael Loft.
I'm Ricky Inger.
And this is Mike Calvo, number 23. Actually, it's 23. I just feel like putting an American accent on it.
20. Don't you mean 20?
20.
Trace?
Well, wait, that's what you can get over there at that there Starbucks down the street over there.
Oh, right,
it's a
20
latte.
Well, I bet the Canadians are kind of happy that they no longer get Spanish when going into the iPhone store.
Don't they get UK English? Apple did address the Spanish issue, only now they get UK English rather than American English, I suppose.
Well, they're getting closer.
That's at least great. They can decipher that.
Yes, this is
yes,
true.
That helps.
The big focus of today's podcast is the latest developments from Apple. Before you go, no more Apple stuff. But our goal at Serotalk is always to let you know of the latest access technology news. And Apple did a lot on 9909.
Yeah, they did.
One event and four major announcements.
Don't worry, for those of you who love Microsoft, next month is Windows 7 month, and we're going to just drool and gush about Microsoft and how wonderful
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, Microsoft gets to have its day, too.
We get the Microsoft love going on soon, so don't worry.
That's right. These are exciting announcements, so we're going to detail these. A lot of people have been asking differences between the iPhone and the new Touch, which is going to allow people to, if they choose, to keep their phone, but yet have the functionality of using all the cool apps that go with it. So Mike, being the Serotech guy.
I get to talk about that. Woo! And also got the new Nano in here. And is it really worth upgrading? You know, is it worth buying the new Nano? And do stick around. We're going to talk about that as well.
And Ricky Inger is going to give us an 18-minute demo of some of the cool new stuff in the latest iPhone 3GS software update 3.1. Fixes a lot of issues, and I think this is important because a lot of people took their iPhones back.
Yeah,
right.
This really makes it into what it should have been to begin with. And that's not saying, oh, you know, Apple, shame on you. And we experience this stuff at Serotech a lot of the time, too, where we put something out there, we try and test it the best we can internally. But the real test, folks, is when it gets out into your hands and we start seeing what the lowest common denominator does. Most software is written for the highest common denominator. As people, individuals, start to work on it and we start finding individual problems, everybody says, oops, got to tweak that. Got to tweak this. And I think that's really what's been happening with Apple. And I'm excited to see how responsive they've been to user input.
You can never have a fully perfected software release. If you got everything right the first time, what would you have to work for? But in my 18 minutes, I explore a few different things. But even in that fairly lengthy presentation, I by no means covered all of the improvements in the latest release.
15 minutes of fame. Now you got 18 minutes of fame.
Well, yeah, I get what I deserve, right?
Fame glutton.
Apple made some changes to their store, and in particular, iTunes 9.0 that has made it inaccessible, at least the store aspect of it, to screen reading technology. So, Mike, what happened there?
What happened was Apple is, I guess, trying to standardize the way that they deal with the web in various products. So as people know, there is a product called Safari, which is the browser for the Mac. It is also available for Windows. But it is not really accessible in Windows. The Safari browser in general is built on WebKit, but the Windows implementation does not have much accessibility to speak of. It had a bare bones accessibility layer, and it just did not work. So it's funny, I was listening to a podcast the other day talking about iTunes and how it looks a lot like Safari now. Well, the reason for that, folks, is because they're using WebKit under the hood, and that is why your screen reader of choice is probably not working very well, if at all, with the new iTunes Store. However, we've got an answer for you. The beast in the basement in Kansas, better known as Matt Campbell, our fearless development guru, has actually fixed the problem for System Access and SA2Go users. Now, that means that anybody that can have access to the web can use SA2Go, shut down your local screen reader, of course, and run SA2Go from www.sa2go.com and then run iTunes, and you will find that the iTunes store is now accessible. I'm sure that Apple will catch up and fix the problem. I'm sure that if they don't do it in time, that your screen reader of choice, I would hope, that they'll fix the problem in the interim.
So yeah, as of today, System Access is your only method to access the iTunes Store.
That's what I read. I mean, we've done some testing with other products in the market, and they're falling pretty flat on their faces. And quite honestly, as is the current product release before this podcast of System Access. I mean, it was barely working, and now it's working very, very well. This is kind of a disclaimer. We may find some minor problems with 64-bit versions of Windows with this patch, but we're working on that, and we'll probably be addressing that in a subsequent update in the next couple of days that will be automatically downloaded to people with SA Mobile and people that are using SA2Go. Of course, it's always up to date with the latest and greatest. So please do feel free to tell people about it. The good news about the stuff that we've done to make WebKit more accessible, since WebKit is open source and Serotech is a big supporter of open source initiatives, we are contributing our code back to WebKit. And what that means, which is very exciting, is that even products like Google Chrome that currently don't have any accessibility built into it can actually take the work that Serotech has done and roll it into their own versions of WebKit-based products. And they can actually have accessibility, brought to you by the friendly folks at Serotech. So do enjoy the access to iTunes, because, of course, those of us who need that fix, we can't live without it, man.
Well, gotta and if you go to twitter.com/Serotalk, there's a link to our Google Chrome page asking for suggestions, and some have, and we'd certainly like to see more people ask that Google make Chrome accessible. But one final question on the iTunes initiative is, they have this new technology, and I'm curious if anyone has purchased any of these new Apple LPs, which have, they're kind of albums or CDs, if you will, whatever, in a wrapper. I don't mean a plastic wrapper, I mean kind of a digital wrapper, and they have liner notes and kind of special content, maybe documentaries, things inside that. Some of the new releases, I think there's about six. I think The Doors is a 40th year kind of special. Nora Jones, Dave Matthews, Bob Dylan. I'm curious, I don't guess either of you have purchased one of those, have you?
Not I.
No, I haven't yet.
If anyone listening has purchased one of these or just has $14 to spare and like to do so and to report your findings, send an email to resources@serotalk.com or give us a call on the Blab line at 866-997-BLAB and kind of let us know your findings there. We got three new things here to talk about, so let's start with the Nanu Nanu.
By the way, I think that the whole LP thing, and call me a curmudgeon, I think it's cheesy. I mean, that's what websites are for, people.
LP, of course, comes from the term long play, going back to albums.
Back in the day when we used to have turntables.
Vinyl. How many remember vinyl? Although vinyl's kind of in vogue for certain people. They're going out and getting albums.
Yeah.
But the initiative here really is to get people to buy the full album or disc, whatever you want to call it, instead of individual tracks. That's the intent here. So, of course, they're working with record labels, and we'll see how successful or unsuccessful this initiative is.
So anyway, so back to the Nano here.
Back to the Nano. Well, first let's talk about, I guess, prices and storage.
Prices and storage really haven't changed much. The current Nano is available in 8 and 16 gigabyte versions. The 8 gigabyte version is $149, and the 16 gigabyte version is $179, which leads you to wonder, why on earth would you buy 8 when you could pay $30 and get 16? $30 more, obviously. I just don't understand the logic behind that.
Give us a mental picture here, Mike. Just give us the dimensions of this. I know a lot of people have bought the 4G, so kind of let us know what this thing looks like.
Exactly like the 4G, except for the 4G has kind of a matte finish. It feels like a Macintosh computer, a MacBook, you know, that's got that kind of matted finish. The new Nano is totally shiny, similar to like the back of your iPhone, you know, how that metal is.
Right.
It's very shiny. It's like that. But it's exactly the same size, same thickness than the 4G Nano, but it has on the back, right up in one of the corners there, it has an actual video camera, and there's a microphone there embedded as well. I have tried to use accessories like the Blue Mikey with it, and unfortunately, they are not working. That being said, though, the video is kind of interesting. Everybody that sees it that I've talked to says the video looks pretty cool. The audio is certainly very good out of the microphone, although I'm finding that the things like the recording and all of that leave a little bit to be desired, again, on the accessibility side.
Since you brought it up, clarify, what is it that we can or cannot do here?
First of all, when you plug the product in, it is, of course, that out-of-the-box accessibility that Apple is just so famous for right now, where you plug it in, iTunes comes up, basically can go in there and check if you want voiceover and if you want the talking menus. And there's a differentiation here that I want to make between the two. Voiceover in products like the iPod Shuffle, which, interestingly enough, this ticked a lot of sighted people off. Because the Shuffle, of course, has no screen, so Apple thought it would be cool to put voiceover in there, and it would, as the song is starting, it would announce every song that was playing. And I guess people didn't really like that too much. This product can do that as well, and Apple calls that voiceover. A side note, I have some Spanish stuff in my iPod Nano, and interestingly enough, when voiceover is running and it sees a Spanish title, it actually reads it in a Spanish voice with the proper inflection. So that was very cool. I thought that was very, very neat. The voice menus in the product, you can use two different voices for your voice menu. You can use the Ricky's favorite voice, the Samantha voice.
I have never made the attempt to do Samantha. I don't think this is very perfect.
What do you think of the new iPod Nano?
I am proud to be the voice on the new iPod Nano. I am also on the iPhone. You can't get rid of me.
Very good.
The other one is the voice that actually is on your computer for system access users. You can use NeoSpeech. If you're just using Windows Vista or whatever, you can use...
Microsoft Anna.
Yeah, Anna. Or, of course, you've got
Microsoft Sam.
Yes, for XP. So you can choose all those voices, and that will give you the talking menus just like... you used to have in the other Nano. So the talking menus are just about exactly the same. It's just unfortunate that things like the radio is accessible, kind of. It doesn't read everything. For example, you don't get the names of the songs that flash across the screen when you're playing a broadcast station.
Okay, so those are shown, but they're not spoken.
Correct.
What about the frequency or the ability to set the presets? Those are two questions I was asked.
I have not been able to figure out how to do that. Now, I've had the unit for a whopping 3 days at the time of this podcast, so I have not figured it out. Anybody can figure out tips or tricks on how to use this thing, please do feel free to send us an email and we'll post it here, or give us a voicemail and we'll definitely post it to our users. But I have not been able to figure that out. What I did like is the fact that you can actually rewind radio, and that does work.
Well, like 15 seconds, so if you hear something, you can actually cue it back?
I vaguely recall hearing 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a lengthy time to be able to rewind.
We don't do kind of reviews from a review standpoint where we go and we have a 1, 2, 3, 4 point.
Right, these are overviews, just trying to give you the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, we play with the stuff like any consumer would. We take it out of the box, don't read the manual, and do what we do with it. The video recording was interesting. You have to hold the camera kind of counterintuitive, actually. You have to hold the camera at a weird, like, upside down almost angle to be able to use it and figure out where you're going to put your fingers so it doesn't block the screen
and the lens.
And then if you're sighted, of course, you can't block the screen with your fingers either. So having a video camera in your pocket, if you don't have it on your cell phone or what have you, is very cool. Being able to sync it up to your iTunes when you get home and upload it to YouTube or whatever is very handy. So all in all, kind of cool upgrade. For me, the Nano is what the Nano is. I don't really particularly need an FM radio. I don't particularly care if it has a camera or not. Are they cool?
What about the voice recorder? I mean, you said the internal mic. Is it something like the recordings you'd get on the iPhone?
They're similar to that, although the voice recorder on the 5G to me was not as accessible as my 4G with the Mikey.
That's interesting. What about the speaker on the Nano?
Nasty. I didn't nasty. Like it. No, I don't like it. It's very tinny.
It would sort of have to be. It's a very small unit. But
yeah, I mean, it's a great reference point. It's one of those
things. Gives you that just enough, kind of like the one in the Victor, maybe. It gives you just enough. You can go through your speech elements, but not anything you wanted to listen to for any extended period of time. You want to put on some earbuds or plug it into some system, Bose or something.
Yeah, but and by the way, speaking of earbuds, it does bring the usual Apple earbuds. And you need those or some form of headphone to listen to the radio. Uses the thing as an antenna, you know, the cable as an antenna. So you're not going to be able to listen to the radio without it. That being said, though, the radio sounds darn good.
And what about the reception? Can you get anything outside of Orlando? Or
you know, I'm not that much into radio, man. I went in there. I flipped around. I checked it out. I saw that I could rewind it. I saw that I could tag a song or two and go play with it with iTunes and see if I wanted to buy it or whatever. But that was it. It was not an exciting...
Big deal. No. Like even Leo Laporte said, it's not HD.
If it would have been HD, that would have been really cool, but no.
What are the supported audio formats? I know the issue we had with the Blue Mikey was you could make a recording, but you had to convert it to something else, or I could not listen to it. That was their way to protect people from recording concerts and things. So if you make an audio file, you can't just send it to someone. You're going to have to use some tool, Sound Taxi or something, to convert it, right? To make it.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that. You can't do things like trim the audio, or it's a vanilla thing. I mean, I think that this time, Apple expected the sales weight behind this to be the camera and the FM radio. And sorry, Apple, it's just not compelling. It's not exciting for me to upgrade. We bought a review unit for the podcast because we had to buy it and we had to review it. If I were just a regular consumer, I just don't see where it's that compelling. I have my 4G, and as far as I'm concerned, they're interchangeable. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Real quick before we move on, what features of the new Nano 5G are inaccessible?
The video camera is relatively inaccessible. I mean, everything is usable, kind of, sort of. It's not voiced. I think it's a hardware limitation, though. I think Apple did a great job with what it could in the platform. This is a constructive criticism. I mean, there's just a certain amount you can do with that platform. I mean, it's itsy-bitsy, a low-power processor. It's not like the iPhone or the iPod Touch where you have a full computer in there with a 600 megahertz processor. I mean, this is not a speech synthesizer. These are all pre-recorded labels for everything. Even the album cuts that you're playing are all pre-recorded. So it doesn't have any true speech synthesis in it, even though they emulate it pretty well like it does. But no, it's all pre-recorded. Things that are delivered to you dynamically, it doesn't work. Still can't set the time.
Can you use the calendar or the pedometer?
I have yet to figure out how to use the pedometer, but the calendar I can't do.
$149 for the 8 gig, $179 for the 16 gig, if interested. Let's move on to the iPod Touch. This one, Mike, I've had at least three people tell me they're considering it over an iPhone.
First things first, the iPod Touch 3G, the third generation for the mainstream, was a huge disappointment. They expected a camera, a compass, they expected GPS. Let me agree with them there and say, having had an iPhone 3GS and this device, I'm spoiled, man. I mean, the 3GS, the phone just rules. It kicks all kinds of tail. That being said, though, we as blind folks, on the other hand, got something we have never, ever, ever had before, and that is an accessible iPod Touch. That in itself is very cool. And for those people who don't want to get involved with AT&T's phone service, which I don't blame you for at all. I am no lover of AT&T in any way, shape, or form. And for those of you who don't want to, you know, pay the cost of getting an unlocked phone if you want to use T-Mobile, this is a great alternative. You can run apps from the App Store. It's got built-in Wi-Fi. It doesn't have anything in it that is not accessible. Everything in the iPod Touch is accessible, which means that in the future, the things that can be done with this thing are just absolutely incredible. Set up again out of the box, really easy. I actually plugged it in and just told iTunes to go ahead and emulate everything I had on my phone. And at which point it then proceeded to download all my apps from the App Store that applied, because there are applications that don't apply. For example, the Navigon software.
So it was smart enough to know then not to install those things that it wouldn't support.
Right. One of the ones it installed that I found to be very interesting is I have a ringtones application. And it installed that. Yet I have yet to find any mention of ringtones
Could use them as alarms?
That's possible, or perhaps you just want to be entertained and you feel like listening to weird ringtones as you sit somewhere in a meeting and are supposed to be paying attention.
Well, yeah, just start playing them in an airport.
I got one that's like, your telephone is ringing, pick it up.
Describe the unit.
It feels just like an iPhone, except for it's thinner, a little bit shorter.
It's shorter because there's no earpiece.
Right. The earpiece part of it is gone. Picture your iPhone, just slice off the earpiece part and then round the top the way that the iPhone is rounded up there. Power button is on the upper left-hand corner.
It was the headphone jack.
Oh, it's a headphone. They moved to the bottom
right
corner.
Yeah, it's on the bottom right corner, right
where the microphone would have been.
Don't get me started. Apple, this is essential, especially for blind people. I think that blind people would be just as disappointed as the sighted folks. The sighted folks didn't get a camera. We didn't get a freaking microphone. That really screws it up for us because you can't take that thing out of your pocket and record a voice memo. Sure, you can be wearing the cheesy little Apple headphones and speak into the microphone on that. But hello, if you're a blind person, you're not going to have your ears covered while you're walking down the street. The use case there, it's not good.
So wait a minute, there's no microphone, but you're saying there is an opening, a perforation for where a camera should have gone, right?
Up on the right-hand corner, behind on the back, there's a little perforation there. You know how when you get a product and it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, but you can feel in the plastic and stuff where they should have been there? You know, the cutout is there, but it's been filled in. There's a cutout right up in the right-hand corner of the device where it looks like an oval should be there. And the oval is probably about an inch across. So I'm thinking they were probably trying to put a camera and a microphone. And if the rumor mill is right, they just had some technical glitches at the last minute and weren't able to deliver it. I really actually hope that that's true and Apple comes back and retrofits this wonderful, gorgeous device because it is a beautiful piece of gear. I don't want to discourage people from buying it, no matter how you cut it. It's an awesome product. If you do need a microphone, I mean, there's third-party mics that you can connect to it. Just the fact that it wasn't integrated was a bit disappointing to me. But again, because I come from using an iPhone, which has all this stuff in it. All in all, I think that the product is very cool. The fact that it's 64 gigs is huge. Do not buy the $199 product, the iPod Touch, that is the second generation. It does not talk.
32 gig for $299, priced the same as the iPhone, mm-hmm. or $399 for 64 gig. So we're clear, folks, so they understand the differences between the iPhone and the Touch, is that the Touch does not have any mechanism for sending and receiving phone calls, does not have GPS capabilities.
Now, it does have Bluetooth, and I don't know if there's going to be the ability to pair that Bluetooth up with a GPS unit. I would imagine that there might be. And quite honestly, that actually makes some pretty good sense, with the exception, of course, of the drainage that Bluetooth puts on batteries. But that's not Apple's fault. That's just a Bluetoothism. In use case scenarios, I prefer wearing my Bluetooth GPS up on my shoulder somewhere, or, you know, high up on my body if I'm walking. The phone, you know, either in my pocket. If I have the GPS in my phone, I find the desire to hold it in my hand or aim it at the sky because it's just going to give me better reception.
Well, we're wondering if there's a way to make phone calls on the device. I found an app called NimBuzz. I talked on an hour to a couple guys on Skype, and we hammered it and saw what it was made of. Ricky, you've done a little bit more with that, so you want to talk about that?
Actually, I haven't done much with NimBuzz, but I have done some things with Fring. They're at least somewhat similar in that what you can do, in addition to instant messaging with various services like MSN and AIM and that sort of thing, you can also make voice over IP calls, assuming that you have a Wi-Fi connection. With AT&T, you can't make VoIP calls over 3G, and certainly you can't do that on the iPod Touch because there is no 3G. But in either case, you can, if you have a particular VoIP provider, whether it be your own PBX or someone who provides this type of service, you can configure software like NimBuzz or Fring to connect to those providers and then make outgoing phone calls. And receive phone calls as well, assuming that you keep the app running. It isn't one of those that'll keep going in the background. You can't, for example, listen to music and expect to receive VoIP calls as well.
So Mike, I'd be curious to let you play with Nimbuzz, or anyone gets the touch, wants to see if it is possible. Now, it doesn't use the speaker at all, so since there's no earpiece, your only shot is going to be to plug in your little earbuds,
your lovely microphone Apple
from
headphones.
Your iPhone.
I'm finding it hard to know if there's a microphone or not on these earphones.
There may very well not be a mic on the earphones.
I can't imagine that would be the case. I mean, that would just really be counterintuitive.
And the other thing that a lot of us have come to love our iPhones for is determining your current location. So is there a mechanism to use something like Around Me?
I see location-based services, and you can turn it on and off. And from what I read, there's some hocus-pocus that it uses triangulating your position according to Wi-Fi. I used Urban Spoon, I used Around Me, and they're looking for GPS. They're not looking for location-based services. So I've not found an application that takes advantage of that particular aspect of the location-based services. It's very difficult for me because I'm not being objective when it comes to looking at this product on its own.
You're coming to this as an iPhone user.
I mean, if you had seen this first before the iPhone, certainly your perspective would have been much different.
Oh, yeah, I'd be real excited about it. You know, the iPhone just takes everything that's cool about the iPod Touch and gives it more. You see what I'm saying? So if I don't sound enthusiastic, folks, it's not because the product sucks. The product is actually quite beautiful. There are a couple of funny anomalies when you shut down the iPod Touch. You know how you hold the power button and you hold the home button and then you tap turn off. It says iPhone shutting down. There's two ways to get to search on this device. Of course, you can hit the home key a couple of times and it'll get you there. Or you can swipe using your fingers to get to change to the page. When you swipe going to the search, that way it says iPhone search. It's hilarious.
But does it do that when you double tap home?
Nope.
No.
Then it says iPod search. There is nobody out there supporting 100% of the DAISY spec. Everybody supports it to their need, including the NLS services here in the States and in other places. With the exception of DAISY books, with the introduction of this particular device, I feel that blind people have more than enough consumer choices that are accessible, that are at varying price points, and that are open enough for innovative AT companies and others to really take advantage of this market and be able to introduce low-cost software. And a great point to that end is things like Navigon, which with one update just took a quantum leap.
With the latest Navigon update, we saw a couple of very major improvements, the first of which is that we no longer have the sort of dissatisfied three-pack-a-day smoker woman voicing the application. In 300 feet, turn left. No longer have that. Now we have text-to-speech, and more importantly, that text-to-speech is providing useful directions rather than simply saying turn left. Give you street names. And it's also no longer sluggish with voiceover, so it's extremely usable. A lot of the improvements that we have seen are directly related to the fact that people have been in contact with developers and making their wishes known, and the developers are extremely responsive from an accessibility standpoint, and I think they want to improve their product overall, and the things that we as blind people are asking for in terms of accessibility actually makes sense for everybody. And so Navigon, it's actually a mobile navigator. The program is called Navigon, but thank you to Navigon, makers of Mobile Navigator, for being so responsive.
I think at this point, if I were to say, okay, well, what would make it better? The ability to navigate, for example, if you're in a park and you want to mark a particular park bench that you like to sit at or whatever. So being able to navigate in areas that don't necessarily have streets affiliated with them, the ability to have points of interest spoken on a route, the ability to do breadcrumbs, better handling of right now what I'm finding Navigon to do is when you tell them that you want to take a pedestrian route, well, they just kind of slow it down. You know, they'll take you through highways.
Right, you still might be crossing the freeway.
Yeah, go through a toll. You know, do you want to walk through toll booths or not? You know, so that's the only place to give any kind of criticism. But the price is right. It's $99. Disclaimer, I've not used the TomTom application. However, as a consumer, I don't feel compelled to. The TomTom application, the $99 is the jumping off point. If you really want to use TomTom right, you got to buy the car kit.
Not only that, but it happens to not be accessible with VoiceOver.
One thing I'd asked Mike, and we verified as far as the touch, that yes, it had the latest 3.1 on there. So the speech did not become sluggish when you start audio apps. That's one of my favorites.
On all platforms, 3.1 got rid of a lot of the sluggishness that was going on with things like VoiceOver in Pandora and in other audio applications. And now with 3.1, you've got more control over the level of VoiceOver to where you can actually be using something like Slacker or other applications like the latest thing that I'm using now is Rhapsody. I'm playing with that because we're going to be doing a comparison of that in the next couple of weeks of various audio applications, more radio stuff. And Rhapsody is interesting, of course, because it's the first subscription music service that is available for the iPhone and the iPod Touch that has nothing to do with iTunes.
We're going to do definitely a part two on the whole using radio, because before what would happen is once you started audio, the speech would get so sluggish on many apps, not all but most, that you'd have to actually hit the home button, stop the app, and start it again and initiate something. And now you can navigate through it while you're listening and set favorites.
It's awesome.
It makes a big, humongous difference.
I'd like to see a camera in it just because I think that the product, I mean, you're paying a lot of money. $399 is not a chump change for anyone. That being said, I think you get a lot more for your $399 than any blindness product out there. I know that the hearts of the manufacturers of these products are really to provide a good alternative to blind users. And because we are a smaller market, that's not a lie. We are a small market. I mean, you've got a lot of blind people, but how many of those blind people use MP3 players, and how even less of those are going to use Daisy players? The cost of these things is high. I will say, though, that there is no real need to keep those as your only options. You need to look at this product and say, wow, do I really want to invest in one of these products that does Daisy today and does MP3s today? Or do I want to go and invest in a product like the Apple iPod Touch, the iPhone, and say, I'm going to push to get an innovative AT manufacturer to make an application to make Daisy available on it?
My biggest concern, the reason I personally would shy away from the Touch, is I feel that the lack of a camera could very likely make it a very short-lived device. Now, that may not be so. Anyone who monitored the Apple announcements, they spent a lot of time focusing on gaming. And if this doesn't take off as a gaming device, I don't think you'll see it around too long, and I don't know then what will happen as far as updates for it.
The device has been without a camera for its first two iterations, and I think that the reason the camera might be such a big deal now is that the rumor mill sort of set people's expectations that there would be a camera.
I don't think it's going to make a difference. I really don't. You've got so many of these products out there. They're trying to promote this as a gaming device to the mainstream. There is a significant difference in speed, in graphics capability between the second G and the third G and the first G of the iPod Touches. Games are going to be written for the lowest common denominator, you know, and that is not people with the 3G. So you're rarely going to see games that are exclusively for the 3G. And if they are, I would submit that you're going to pay a premium for them. I forget the statistics. It was 250 million iPods. 100 million of those are Nanos. 150 million are the other various iterations. You've got 150 million subscribers on iTunes that are purchasing and got credit cards on iTunes. There are more people than that using iTunes, but those are the ones that are paying. And over a billion applications sold. I would submit that this is a pretty entrenched platform. So I wouldn't worry about the hardware not being updated. I would worry more about the fact that now that Apple has got such a huge market share, are they going to share and allow other players to come into it and take advantage of that consumer base and take their tax as they go? I mean, that's the whole idea behind the internet. That's what makes Amazon so wonderful. What it is that Amazon is a toll booth. And as people do commerce, Amazon takes its toll and keeps on going.
There's so many points because, A, we've ultimately have to get access to all of these e-books, you know, that you can get on the Kindle and these other devices. And then there's the whole issue of Daisy. Is it predominantly blindness specific, where we're holding ourselves back by using that particular technology.
See, lobbying, I think we are.
Yeah, and lobbying to get the NLS to use something that can be deployed on a wider variety of players. I mean, Audible protects their content, and yet it's on a vast variety of off-the-shelf units, which reduces the price not only for consumers, but could also save the government a good chunk of change.
Sure. I mean, those players that the NLS is handing out left and right, they're expensive. And I think that, I mean, if Audible's doing it, Audible's got over 60,000 titles, people. This is not small. There is definitely a good argument here for us as blind folks to push NLS and say, listen, let's try and embrace some more mainstream devices and start breaking down these walls. We've been pushing for DAISY for years. It's great. Groups like Bookshare and whatnot are embracing DAISY. But at the same time, at this point, if they're producing for the Kindle, for all these other new ebook variations that are coming out on the market, why are we going to add but another standard, I guess, to the fracas and say, well, if you want to serve blind people, this is what you got to do? That just doesn't make sense. Let's advocate to make the existing standards more accessible.
Do you know of any companies other than Cerotech who are adjusting their business models based on Apple's successes, or is it pretty much business as usual?
Well, it's interesting. Code Factory recently came out with a version of MobileSpeak to address access to touchscreen phones. In that respect, they understand that people are kind of finding the touchscreen platform exciting.
That would be cool to play with. If anybody in our listening audience has access to this software and can either record a demo or give us an article or something, I would be very interested in hearing about that and maybe even getting the folks from Code Factory back on the podcast to talk about that. I'm such a big believer in the touch interface, and I know that blind people are fighting against it, kicking and screaming and yelling. Folks, we touch. This platform makes sense. Get your biases aside and take off your blinders, no pun intended.
Well, and forget the money that you wasted. Some of this comes from people who've invested money in devices that they couldn't use.
Start looking at, wow, is this a viable alternative? Because the reality is that if we can make touch accessible, people, touch is going to be available in all kinds of public places, on kiosks and everything else. So if we can have a hand in making touch accessible, that's going to be huge for us as a consumer market going forward in public places, even put aside the consumer devices, just in public places with ATMs and everything else. So that is a huge, huge thing for us to look at, for us to lobby around, and for us to make our voices heard, not from a griping and complaining standpoint, but from a real, wow, let's look at this platform and see how, as blind people, we can help the developers of it enhance it for us to use it.
So my final question to you, because I just love my iPhone, so whether you're playing with the iPhone or go with the new Touch, what are some of your new favorite apps? There's a list over at mexaccessibility.net, but of course there's no descriptions there what the apps do, so you go to each one and then look those up. What are you two playing with?
I like Fart for Free, iPhone farting app.
And is it accessible?
it actually is accessible. Problem is, of course, you know, the whole idea behind the farting application is that you can touch it and it'll just fart, and people go, ooh, who did that? But of course, for us, it'll say the name of the fart before it does it.
Hard to pull a trick on the family, but unless they're mindlessly watching TV and aren't really paying that close of attention.
I've got Rhapsody. Rhapsody is kind of the latest and greatest. Oh, and the concerts one. I'm doing one for concerts, for local concerts.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, all kinds of venues. I mean, there are clubs and places that host concerts I was not even aware of. So whether you want gospel or you want to see AC/DC, it's out there. Concerts is a great app. So I just started playing with Nimbuzz. I do like that app. Skype and all your messaging portals, Twitter Later Pro and Tweetero. I like that it says the time that the messages came in, the tweets were posted. Some people don't like that. I think
a lot of people think that's annoying.
I kind of like it, but I'm strange. I'm a numbers person.
I'm glad you finally realized that you're strange, Michael. That means so much to us.
Well, when I can remember IP addresses easier than some people's names, there's your sign.
Very interesting quirk. For me, I've been playing with a lot of apps which focus, no pun intended, on the camera. I am demonstrating a program called HueView a bit later in the podcast, and I'm also looking at things like ScanCam and OCR Now and some programs which attempt to do what KNFB Reader does. With that said, I haven't had a great deal of success with the programs that I've played with for OCR, but the biggest reason for that is that there has to be extremely good lighting in order to take a good picture. with these apps, you don't have immediate feedback in terms of your image is tilted 35 degrees counterclockwise to the left. So I think it takes a little bit of practice, but they're all pretty fascinating and show some promise.
The quest continues.
I have to give kudos and a big shout out to Steve Woolley, and he's got an app called OOTunes. We need another one, but this one's really good. And because he made some adjustments for accessibility, has 12,000 radio stations, but a lot of cool features in it, including the ability to use the sleep timer that you have in the iPhone. And because we requested, because sometimes a stream comes on and it's so loud that you can't hear it to adjust the speech. So he added a function. You can shake the phone to stop the audio.
Nice.
Or restart it.
Nice.
Very
and
nice.
Just a whole wealth of labeling buttons. And I want to hear that if you out there have had some success with a company, we want to hear about it. Resources at serotalk.com. I know a lot of people are taking their own initiative and contacting the developer of some of these apps, and they are making adjustments. And I think one of the big ones that, Ricky, I saw you posted on was Facebook.
Facebook, a touching story of accessibility and community involvement. A very nice success story. Facebook version 3.0 was released, and everybody in the community was quite excited about it. All the blind people downloaded it and discovered that it had taken huge leaps backward in terms of accessibility. So we all began sending feedback to the folks at Facebook, indicating that we really wanted this app to be accessible.
We're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore.
The people at Facebook said, my bad, this isn't accessible, let's go fix this. Version 3.02 of the app is accessible. I won't say completely bug-free, but certainly getting there.
Well, that's all I've got from here. Any final comments from either of you?
I'm very happy with both products. I mean, the Nano is cool. If you don't own a Nano right now, go get the 5G. If you do own a 4G, I just don't see any real compelling reason to upgrade, but that's entirely up to you. The iPod Touch, on the other hand, is a very cool product, not better than an iPhone. I really look forward to seeing how that product is going to mature. $399 for 64 gigs or $299 for 32 gigs is actually a pretty fair price for this computer in your pocket. So go get it. It's very cool, and it's available at your Apple Store today, and it's accessible out of the box.
On Wednesday, 090909, in addition to the announcements of new products like the latest Nano and the latest iPod Touch, we also saw an update to the software for the iPhone and iPod Touch. So now we're on version 3.1, and we saw some pretty significant improvements in this update. Some of those things are of benefit to everybody. For example, we see much improved battery life. This has been something that people have been clamoring for since the release of the 3GS, and Apple has done an excellent job of really addressing that in this release. We also see things like better performance when Bluetooth and 3G are on at the same time. And speaking of Bluetooth, you can now use your Bluetooth headset to do voice commands just as you can do from the handset. So that's a nice addition. Aside from those things that are of benefit to everyone, we saw several really nice enhancements that are specific to accessibility, and I want to showcase a couple of those today. The first one I want to talk about is the ability to turn VoiceOver on and off. You can also do this with other accessibility features like Zoom. Now, I'm not just talking about the ability to mute speech. We've had that since the 3.0 release of the software. In this case, you can, again, actually toggle your accessibility features on or off. I'm going to first demonstrate how to do that and then talk a little bit about why that's actually useful. So I've got my iPhone here and
settings.
I will go into settings.
Wallpaper, general, button.
I'll choose general.
Select settings, button. Showing rows 11 to 21 of 20. Profiles. Reset. Button. Accessibility. Button.
There accessibility. We are. So accessibility.
Button. Showing rows 1 to 12 of 12.
And at the bottom of the screen here.
Triple click home. Voice over. Button.
I have triple click home. And this is currently set to voice over. I'll just go
triple
in
click
here.
Home. Accessibility. Button. Home. Triple click the home button. Off. Toggle voiceover. Selected. Toggle white on black. Ask.
And those are the things that you can do there. So again, mine is set for voiceover. Now, anytime I triple click the home button.
Triple click the home button. Voiceover off.
I get voiceover off. And I can do this once again.
Voiceover on. Settings. Accessibility. Button.
And voiceover is back. Now, because of the way that you configure this, it isn't possible to, for example, walk into the AT&T or the Apple Store and just press the home button three times and immediately expect VoiceOver to begin speaking. This is something that each user has to configure. But despite that, it is actually a very useful thing to be able to do for a couple of reasons. The first reason is that some of us have folks that we'd like to share our iPhones with, and some of those folks may be sighted. In my case, I would like to let my husband use the iPhone on occasion. But since VoiceOver changes the gestures used to operate the iPhone, if I handed him a VoiceOver-enabled iPhone, it would become very frustrating very quickly for him. So now I can triple-click home, hand it over, and say, okay, if you want to take pictures, do videos, or what have you, you can do that with the gestures that you're expecting. When you give me the phone back, I can turn VoiceOver on very easily and go about my business. In addition to that, there are some applications where VoiceOver is just not going to be useful or where VoiceOver doesn't work. For example, there are some apps for musicians, like there's an app which turns your iPhone into a piano, and having VoiceOver working in an app like that would be intrusive if the thing worked at all. And there are also some applications where VoiceOver is just not able to interact with certain portions of the screen. The one I'd like to show is called HueView. This is an application designed for those who are colorblind, and it's a way to do color identification. So I'm going to bring that up on the iPhone now.
Eye Spectrum, HueView. HueView, welcome to HueView.
All right, the application is up. Now I'm going to choose to take a picture. I could also choose something from my photo album, but I'm going to take a picture.
Camera, button. Camera. Dim, button.
And now I'm ready to take a picture of the item that I want to analyze and see what color it is. In this case, it's going to be my shirt. Now I'm wearing red today, so we'll see if HueView agrees with me. First, I'll take the picture.
Button. Button. Dim.
Okay, I've taken my picture. Now I have the option to use the image or to retake it. I want to go ahead and use this
button.
Image.
Use, dim, QC, button.
So now on the screen, I have...
Touch the image.
Touch the image. And as I move around the screen, I hear that noise, which indicates that we are on a portion of the screen that VoiceOver cannot interact with. So in order to be able to interact with this image, I need to turn VoiceOver off, which I will now do.
VoiceOver off.
Now I'm just going to touch a spot on the screen, and that's what indicates to HueView, this is the portion of the image that I want you to analyze. I've just kind of chosen a spot in the middle of the screen, and I've touched it. Now I'm ready to turn VoiceOver back on.
VoiceOver on. HueView, QC, button.
And let's see what
Vivid
we
red.
Have here. Vivid red.
Vivid red.
That is, in fact, correct. So because I was able to turn VoiceOver off and interact with this image, I was able to use this application, which was not previously accessible in version 3.0 of the software. And now that I'm able to use it, I have a very nice, handy color identifier, assuming that I'm in a place which has enough light to support color identification. That's one of the really important things you want to keep in mind if you're using this application, there does need to be enough light in order for it to accurately determine what color something is. But there you have it, a very nice practical use for being able to turn VoiceOver on and off. The next really cool feature I want to talk about is the ability at last to cut, copy, and paste on the iPhone. This is something which took quite some time to arrive in the iPhone in general. It was not a function until version 3.0 for the sighted folks, but in the 3.0 release, this was not yet supported by VoiceOver, and it now is in version 3.1. So I want to just briefly show how copying and pasting on the iPhone works. I'm going to
page 1 of 3 messages.
Go over to my notes application.
Notes. Notes.
Now, let's say that I was in a meeting and somebody gave me a phone number. I wrote it down in my notes, but I didn't add it to contacts or anything like that. And now I want to dial that phone number. So I have a note here.
The number is 1,800,555 tel. Text field. Auto correction on. Auto cap on.
The number is 1-800-555 tel, says my notes. So the first thing I want to do is select what I want to copy.
The number is 1,800,555 tel.
So I've just used the downward flick motion to move through my note here, and I'm now focused on the word that I want to copy. The word in this case is the phone number, 1-800-555-TEL. Now I will use the rotor gesture on the iPhone, and previously, we had the ability to switch from characters to words, and on web pages, there were several other options as well. So I'm going to use the rotor feature here.
Edit.
And here is the edit mode. Now that I'm focused on that, I can flick downward.
Paste. Select all. Select.
I had the ability to paste, because I've apparently previously copied something to my clipboard. Or I could select, or select all. I'm currently focused on select. If I chose select all, it would choose this entire note, which says the number is 1-800-555-TEL. I just want to choose the current word. So I'll double tap select.
Select all. Select.
Now I've selected what I want. I will flick downward again.
Cut. Paste. Copy.
And I want to copy.
1,800,555 tel. Copied.
And I've just been informed what I have copied. So, I'll get out of this note.
Home.
And I want note to go and call Tell Me now. So,
phone.
I'll go to phone.
Phone. Favorites.
Let's choose
empty list.
The keypad,
keypad
here.
Button. Keypad. So, blank phone number. Text field.
Now, I'm still in the edit mode, so my upward and downward flicks are going to do actions based on that mode. So let's see what I can do here in this blank phone number field.
Paste. Paste. Paste.
And paste is the only thing that I can do here. So
paste.
I will double tap that. And now let's see what we have.
2:31 p.m. Phone number 1-800-555. -8355 text field.
And there's my phone number. And note that in my text note, I actually spelled out 1-800-555-TELL. When I pasted it into the keypad here, it automatically translated TELL into the numbers 8355. So I'm now ready to call Tell Me if I actually wanted to do that, but I don't at this point. What I'd like to do is show another nice editing advancement in this software release, and that is the ability to edit or trim audio and video on the phone. You can do this accessibly now, which I think is rather awesome. I'm going to edit a voice memo. So let's bring up the voice memos app. Let's get out of the phone app first.
Home. Voice memos.
Here we are.
VU meter. -20 VU. Image. Record. Button. Show recordings. Button. Show recordings. Speaker. Button. 12:44 p.m. August 1st, 2009. To 11:16 a.m. 9:14 seconds. 09:14.
All right, let's try this one. I'll double tap on it in order to play it.
Paused. 11:16 a.m. 9:14 seconds. 09:14. Highlighted.
I want to make sure this is playing through the speaker.
Voice so, speaker button. Speaker selected.
There we go. Now let's go ahead and play this.
Playing.
11:16.
-20 VU.
Hello. Hello. I'm recording a voice memo. Now I will stop.
-20 VU. Get it. Stop. Button.
So there I have a voice memo, and I captured some interesting things for posterity that I would now like to get rid of. I don't want to be reminded of my temporary lapse in higher brain functions every time I listen to that voice memo. So I kind of want to get rid of the, hello part at the beginning. So what I will do in order to edit this voice memo is...
More info, 12, more info, button.
Choose the more info button, which is to the right of this memo.
More info, voice memos, button.
Now,
info, 11:16 a.m., trim memo, button.
I have the option to trim the memo, which I will
trim
choose.
Trim memo, trim beginning, 0 seconds, adjustable.
Okay, so I can trim the beginning, and at this point, I'm set to trim by 0 seconds. Let's give that a good 5 seconds. So I'm going to flick upward here.
0 seconds, 0 second, 1 second, 1 second, 2 seconds, 2 second, 3 second, 3 second, 3 second, 4 seconds, 4 second, 5 seconds.
There we are at 5 seconds, and you'll notice that as I flicked upward here, I had numbers repeating twice. For example, 3 seconds, 3 seconds, and so on. I believe we are actually moving by increments of 0.5 rather than an entire second. So on my second repetition of 3 seconds, I would actually be cutting 3.5 seconds, I believe. I'm going to try 5 seconds here, and let's play this memo and see if I got rid of as much as I wanted to.
Cancel button. Trim voice memo. Play button. Pause.
Hello. I'm recording a voice memo. Now I will stop.
-20 VU. Stop. Button.
Hey, what do you know?
Play. Button.
I actually got rid of the right amount of content, but I still have at the end voiceover saying stop and some other things that I don't really want to save. So on this screen, I can go to
trim voice memo. Button. Cancel. Button. Trim. Play. Trim end. 14 seconds. Adjustable.
Okay, I'm at trim end. And it's currently at 14 seconds. Let's take this down to 12.
12 seconds.
And we'll try and play again.
Play button. Pause.
Hello. I'm recording a voice memo. Now I will stop.
-20 VU. Get it.
Okay, I
play,
got rid
button.
Of part of it, but I haven't completely gotten rid of everything that I want to trim from this.
Trim voice memo. Cancel. Button. Play. Button. Trim end. 12 seconds. Adjustable.
I'm going to take this down to 10 seconds.
11 seconds. 10 seconds.
Now, in this instance, I am flicking downward because I'm moving the counter backward. I want it to end at 10 seconds rather than 14 seconds. If I wanted to go back to 12 seconds, I would use an upward flicking gesture. So now I think I may have gotten this right. So let's play it and see what we have.
Play button. Pause.
Hello. I'm recording a voice memo. Now I will stop.
Play button.
There we go. I think that's pretty good. So I'm ready to actually complete this operation, and it's not going to happen until I double tap the trim voice memo button. And then this memo will be forever after saved with the edits that I just made rather than the way it was originally.
Trim voice memo button. Trim voice memo, voice memos button.
And we're done. This type of edit operation can not only be done on audio, but on video as well. This is by no means a completely extensive exploration of all of the new updates in the latest 3.1 software release, but it should be enough to keep you interested.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.